Thanks for joining us for another God-inspired message from C3 Church Monash. Connect with us online at c3monash.org.au and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, we are getting into the Word and I'm feeling really excited, but I'm also feeling a bit challenged because I've come down with some kind of sickness. But as we're going into the theme of Jonah, I'm thinking, you know, I feel a bit seasick. Maybe God's just getting me in the zone of how Jonah felt when he got spat out of that whale and went to preach to the Ninevites. And if I get 120,000 people saved here tonight, then that's fine. So thank you, Jesus. But we're in a new theme called Jonah. And I'd really encourage you, if you haven't already, to get into the book of Jonah. You have no excuses because it's only 4 chapters long. It'll take you about 6 to 10 minutes just to read the book of Jonah. And, you know, it's a small book. You might have to go to the contents to find where it is, but that's okay. And, you know, the thing is that as we preach this month, it's not the preacher's responsibility to feed you with everything. You know, what you put in is what you'll get out, not just through the way you receive the word with your even encouragement tonight. You know, if I'm looking a bit flat, just pull something out of me, because you only get out what you put in. And in the same way, I want you to just once a week, just sit down with God, read through Jonah so you're prepared in your heart for what we're going to share with you and challenge with you this month. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one for free. So at the end of the service, you know, come down the front, talk to anyone here on the front row, and we've got a Bible we'll give you for free, because we want you to be a part of this. We want you to get involved in the Word of God. So, amen. Who's ready tonight to receive? We're in the tagline of Uncharted Waters. So a definition of this that I looked up, which I thought might apply well tonight, is that uncharted waters is a situation that is not well known and may be dangerous. That's almost a summary of living for God. You know, it's dangerous. It's not well known what He'll call us to next. And we're going to see that as we start reading Jonah chapter 1. And I just learned through this story. So let's go. Verse 1 to 17, Jonah flees from the Lord. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port, after paying the fare. Because whenever you run from God, it's always going to come at a price to you. He went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So he didn't just go to the next city. You know, what Jonah did is he went as far away as he could go, because where he was called to go, Nineveh, was towards the east from where he was. So he went down to Joppa and got on a ship and sailed for Tarshish. Tarshish was west. It was in Spain in this time. And so Jonah, he's actually going as far away from this calling as he can, not even just in distance, but he's putting water between what God's calling him to go. And, you know, a couple years ago, maybe even 5, 10 years ago, a long time ago, when I thought I was like a surfer and I wasn't, I was going to Ulla Dulla to meet a mate there. I think he was camping just for a day trip to surf. And I drove down, got to the bay, and then I turned right and went across the bridge. And then I knew it was about a 45-minute trip. And when I nearly got to Naruma, I realized, hang on, where's Ulla Dulla? Looked up the maps and I'd been going the wrong direction. So I turned right across the bridge at the bay where Ulla Dulla was to the left. But, you know, I did it because, you know, I made a mistake. But Jonah, he's not doing a mistake. He's doing this on purpose. So from verse 4, "Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below the deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, 'How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. We're about to die. Do you not care?' Then the sailors said to each other, 'Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity.' They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, 'Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?' And Jonah answered, 'I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of the heavens, who made the sea that's about to kill us, he made that, and the dry land.' And this terrified them, and they asked, 'What have you done?'" Because it says in brackets that they knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them. So at least he was honest with them. It's not like he got there and lied. When he got down to the port, he said, "Hey, can I pay the fare and come with you? Because I'm running away from God." And they said, "Yeah, that's fine. Jump on board. What could possibly go wrong?" And so if someone ever comes up to you and wants to lift in the car, or, you know, they're on the plane with you and they want to come to your house and they're running away from the Lord, say, "No, I'm sorry. You're not coming with me, because this can happen." So let's continue verse 11. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." We're almost there. Let's stay focused. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. And now comes one of the most challenging to believe, and I guess a very debated verse in the Bible, verse 17. And we all know this from kids' church. "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." And so ends the first chapter of Jonah. Now, before we go any further this month, we need to make something clear. This month, we're not getting into a scientific debate of whether Jonah can survive in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Because those kind of debates are childish and they're irrelevant. And we value your time too much for that. If anyone ever is trying to disprove God because Jonah lived 3 days in a fish, tell them to put down the children's book and to pick up the book of the Bible, an adult book, and see what God really wants to say to us in the book here. Because if we believe that Jesus died and after 3 days was risen from the grave, you know, that's pretty easy for us to believe that the same God could keep Jonah alive in the belly of a fish. It's irrelevant, and nothing is possible for God. And so we can believe this actually happened. And it's a shame when people go their whole life just debating about things that don't really matter and miss what God really wants to say to them in the book of Jonah. Because I realized this week, as I was reading the book of Jonah and I was studying it, that the main character in the book of Jonah is not the whale. It's not the fish. And I want to suggest as well that as I read it, I realized that the main character in the book of Jonah isn't Jonah. Because I saw this week after reading it time and time again that the main character in the book of Jonah is me. It's me. And I believe it'll be you as well today if you open your heart to see that you are like Jonah in many ways. And I feel so sorry for Jonah because, you know, we know at a just a basic level Jonah to be one who just ran away from God. That's what we know Jonah to be like. But the thing is, I guess I'm trying to say that just like Jonah, we have all run away from God in time of uncharted waters when they're not well known and that they may be dangerous. Like when the voice of the Lord comes to you about giving, you know, go to that great city of your bank account where your foundation is and return to me what is mine. Put your trust in me. Or go to the great church of C3 Monash and serve it with your time and your talents because I've given you both. Or when you need to be standing for Christ at work because someone's having that conversation and you know, you should be standing in there saying, "No, this is not how God is." Or when God says, "Go and forgive that person for what they've done." Or when God says, "Give up on that sin that's causing you so much pain." Or go and take that step of faith and start that business or start that opportunity. Whatever it is, we have all done a Jonah. Or maybe you're doing a Jonah tonight. Or if you haven't, you know, you're going to do a Jonah at some point in your life. Because we all run away from God, just like Jonah did. Because in life, God's word, so God's calling, God's instruction, God's purpose, whatever you want to call it here today, can be either interpreted by us as an invitation or an inconvenience. When the word of the Lord comes to you, is it an invitation or do you just see it as an inconvenience? And to Jonah, this was a big inconvenience, like a big inconvenience. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Because for Jonah, he wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. Jonah hated the Ninevites, and so it was so inconvenient that he would go to a place that he wants to destroy and preach a message of grace. It was inconvenient to what Jonah wanted. But not just inconvenient, it was dangerous. And so I guess I'm trying to help us to relate tonight and for this month, but before we judge Jonah, let's put this into perspective, because Nineveh was a rough city. What he was called to do was no easy task. They were bad, they were barbaric. And some scholars even say that it was as bad as Queanbeyan. But in all seriousness, Nineveh, that's why we planted a church there. No, they're great, Queanbeyan. But Nineveh was a barbaric city. Like, it was rough. They would do disgusting things to their enemies, the way that they would kill them and torture them. Pastor Steve mentioned in his great message this morning, which I'd encourage you to listen to, that they decorated the walls of Nineveh with the body parts of their enemies. That's how just barbaric they were. They would cut off the hands and feet of them, wave them in their face before they killed them. You know, they would torture them. In Nahum chapter 3, we get an insight into Nineveh, that it's a city full of lies, prostitution. These were really evil people. This was no small task that Jonah was asked to go and preach to the Ninevites. And I guess if the book of Jonah was written in 2018, it would say something like this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, "Go to the great nation of Iraq and preach to ISIS, because its wickedness has come up before me." Imagine if God tonight spoke to you so clearly and said, go over and stand in front of ISIS when they're having a meeting and tell them that what they're doing is wrong and they need to repent before God. That's what Jonah was basically asked to do. And so he had such an attitude. Jonah didn't want to save these people. He had a heart problem. He hated the Ninevites, and it made him so angry, just so raging angry when God asked him to go preach to them. And we'll see this a little later on in scripture, but Jonah had a massive anger problem. And this is one of the reasons that he ran away, that he overreacted every single time he was asked to do something that was against his will. He was so angry, he fled. And in this case, in Jonah chapter 1, he would rather run away and be drowned and die than to go to the city of Nineveh and to save them with God's message of grace and mercy. Can anyone else relate to Jonah like me? How you can overreact in anger to just things that don't go your way or things that are inconvenient to you, even in the small and stupid things. Like I realize that this week as I read Jonah, that I'm such a Jonah. Like, I'm so immature like Jonah. And when things don't go my way, like I get so angry. I'm so dysfunctional. I could just see me as Jonah. And I'm going to share an illustration just to help you realize just like how messed I am.
It's a prop.
It's a prop. Thank you, Andrew. So I did this job last week and I quoted it. I'm a plumber and I had to dig up this stormwater drain in the ground because it was blocked. And I had to dig up some concrete in the driveway. It was 2 meters by 1 meter wide and about 1 meter deep. And so because I'm too tight to pay for an excavator, I made myself and my apprentice hand dig it. But the thing is, the job went so well. Like, oh, it was amazing. Like, plumbing is so good sometimes. It was a job that I allowed for a whole day. And after we cut the concrete up and we started digging, it was just so easy. Like, the shovel was just gliding through the dirt and we're just throwing it off. And we got to the pipe and I fixed it. And it was just so perfect. And then I called my dad because I had to borrow his trailer because I'm too tight to buy my own trailer so that I could get the stone and backfill the hole that I dug, because you have to use different stone. You can't just throw the old dirt back in. And then he was down the coast and I was like, oh, that's inconvenient. And then the customer who was on the, like, listening to me said, oh, just take my trailer. It's right there. So I was like, oh, okay. So I didn't even have to go and get the trailer. I just hitched up his, went off, got the stone, asked for, oh, I know I need about this much. They dumped the stone. Went back, and it was so perfect. As we threw the last bit of stone in the hole and just brushed it in, it just finished so perfectly. Like, I didn't have to go and get more. I didn't have to pay to take the excess away. It was just so perfect. Like, it was amazing. Plumbing is so good. And so my pipeline sword, I installed like this riser, right? So it means that once you backfill the hole, you can take this off and you can look down at the drain and you can make sure it's all flowing and all good. And so I turned the van on because it was time to leave, finished like 4 hours ahead, and it was a quoted job, so it was just so good. And then I got the drill, got Brad, my apprentice, to go get me the drill. And so we turned the garden tap on to make sure that everything's flowing. And I unscrewed, it's got three screws, like the first one. And then I unscrewed like the second one. Oop. Skilled tradesman over here. And then I went to get the third like screw out. It was like just the last thing I had to do. And I was like, and I stripped the screw. So, you know, like it's a cross, but I made it a circle. And I couldn't get the screw out and I couldn't get the lid off. And so I flipped my lid. I was like, oh, I'm so angry. Like everything went so perfect. Now I've got to drill this thing out, replace that. And I'm so like Jonah. It was so perfect. The job was amazing. It was so fun just digging, just listening to music. And then one little thing happened. So like just the smallest inconvenient thing that took an extra 2 minutes to fix. And I was acting like Jonah. I was so angry. And I was reflecting this week like, I'm so immature like Jonah. Like as soon as something goes wrong, I just like whinge and like get angry. And like, and can anyone else relate to me that sometimes you just flip out for like just the stupid, you just flip your lid over the stupidest of things. And that's my message title tonight, flipping your lid. You know, maybe you can relate to the way that you yell at your kids. Maybe the way you yell at your partner sometimes. Maybe the way you yell at your dog when they've chewed up that thing again. Or when you're, you know, listening to worship music and then someone cuts you off in traffic and then you're just at them, like cursing the day they were born, like pause worship for a second. Like maybe like when you need to make that call and your phone reception's out and you just get so angry over such a small inconvenience. When you open up the letter from the government about your land rate tax and it's like a four-figure amount and you're like, I've just spent hundreds of thousands of dollars so I can live here and now I've got to pay you thousands of dollars every year to live here. Like it makes you so angry. I'm going to get some of you now so you can stop judging me. Or the way some of you, when it lags when you're playing Call of Duty and instead of shooting that person, they shoot you and you just blow up. Half the boys are not judging me anymore for my anger issue because we all like Jonah. And I'm so thankful that there are times that even though I disobey God and overreact in my anger and act like an idiot and act like the rebellious people of Nineveh sometimes, God is a God of redemption and he hears my cry for help when I've fallen into a dark place, just like in the belly of a fish. Because Jonah, he cried out to God in chapter 2. Make sure you read it this week. And God rescued him and he commanded the fish to vomit him up on the earth, on dry land. And the first verse of chapter 3 has to be one of like the best verses in Jonah, if not in the Bible. Jonah chapter 3 verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I'm so grateful that we serve the God of second chances. The God of third chances, the God of fourth chances, the God of fifth chances. I'm so grateful that we serve God that loves us so much that just because we stuff up and maybe run away from God for whatever reason in your whatever season of life you're in, he'll still call us to live out his purpose even when we've run away from him and disobeyed him. Like the book of Jonah, it's not about a whale. It's about grace. It's about redemption. It's about mercy, not just to Jonah, the prophet, not just to the Ninevites. It's a book about mercy and redemption to you and I. Because I'm Jonah and you're Jonah. And the thing that I see in this book of Jonah about God's amazing grace for us is that God can use us even though we are still dysfunctional and still haven't responded to that very thing that we ran away from in the first place. Because check this out. Even though Jonah called out to God in the belly of the fish, he like repented, said, I'm sorry. And he, you know, maybe you're the same. Maybe it's you keep trying to move on from that pain or keep trying to move on from that sin. But again, you keep falling, you know, into it. Jonah was the same. He still had an anger issue. You know, even though he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, that's a lot of time to think about why you're in there. He still didn't change that part of his heart. And this is how I can relate to Jonah. how God still loves us and calls us whilst dealing with our attitudes and dysfunctions. Let's look at Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. And so now this is after the revival, because Jonah in chapter 3, when he gets given the second chance, he actually obeys, like Joel mentioned, and he gives the message to the Ninevites, and they repent and they all come back to God. And so here's Jonah. It says, "But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became," let's all say it together, "angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is why what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God. You're slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.'" That's flipping your lid. When you're so angry that you'd rather die than to just get through this thing that's causing you this inconvenience or this anger. "But the Lord replied, 'Is it right for you to be angry?'" And then God addresses his attitude again. You know, if we ignore God the first time, he doesn't just then ignore it. Oh, they're never going to change. He addresses it again because he's about not just rescuing the Ninevites. He's also about redeeming us about those things that God cares about, and that's you and I. He cares about the one, not just the 99. That's what Jesus said. You know, don't just go after the 99, go after the one. And God does that, and we see that in Jonah. Verse 5, "Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city." So like put up his deck chair, like put his feet up, you know, cracked a can of Coke or whatever, just sitting back and was like, "Let's see what happens here. Let's see if God calls down the fire of heaven and destroys them just like I want." He was just sitting there with an attitude. And what happened then was God, he grew a plant which went over and protected Jonah from the hot sun. And Jonah, it said, was very happy about the plant. But then the next day, God provided a worm which ate the plant, and then so the plant withered and died. And again, Jonah flipped his lid. He was so angry, like such a small little thing, like just, you know, just something so simple. And he just flipped his lid again. He said, you know, God said, "Is it right for you to be angry now about this plant? Not just about, you know, the whole situation about the Ninevites, but even now just about a thing." And Jonah said, "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry that I wish I were dead." He's suicidal again. He's just so angry. And, you know, God doesn't respond to Jonah with the anger that Jonah has, or with condemnation, or with judgment about his selfish attitude, but with a question that I want to finish on tonight. And I might grab the worship team to come up. Because Jonah was given a second chance. You know, Jonah was given mercy. Jonah was saved from death. And God challenges him, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? You know, you're so angry about the very things that I've given you." It's so challenging. What area of anger is God challenging you today about? Jonah. We're all a Jonah. And I really felt so convicted to just wake up to myself this week, like stopping like Jonah and ask yourself the question, why am I so angry about little things which are so inconvenient, or just not even just a little bit inconvenient? What are you flipping your head about? Not just what are you flipping your head about, but why are you flipping your lid about this? Because God's question, "Is it right for you to be angry?" wasn't so much about the situation, it was about the heart. Like, ask yourself that question, and I'm going to do that this week whenever I get angry. Why am I so angry about this? Like, what's the big deal when God has been so good to me, when he's provided for me in every way? You know, are you angry at God's blessing and grace towards others? Are you angry at a situation? Are you angry and about a leader that's maybe challenged you on something? Are you angry at the church for something? Are you angry at God? Are you angry about his word? What are you angry about? Or are you're like me, I felt God challenge me on this. Are you just angry about just stupid little things that you can just get rid of? And, you know, I just think that God challenged me and said, why don't you try just asking that question to you every time this week you get angry? Just ask me that question. Okay, why am I so angry about this? And I think that's one way that when we ask that, we can then listen. And I believe that God will speak to our heart and reveal stuff that we need to deal with. Because, like, I hope being vulnerable tonight about this issue will speak to you about yours. You might not be angry, it might be another issue, but I've tried so many times, like, God, I want to, like, stop this bad habit that I'm developing. And there's no excuses. I don't care if it's the culture of a tradesman or when you swear when something doesn't go your way. It's not good enough. I've had enough. I'm sick of myself, God. And I even started a swear jar last week. I was like, I'm so sick of myself. I'm going to punish myself financially every time I swear. I'm going to donate that money. And it's not up to much. And that's good because it's helped a bit. Maybe where your treasure is, your heart will also follow. Something like that. But I felt that God said, you know, that's actually not going to cause a change. It's asking this question, listening to me. Do you have a right to be angry? And so I want to do an altar call tonight, and I'm the first to respond, so no judgment from me. What area of anger, what's making you flip your lid? What do you need to repent about tonight on the altar? Confess to God about it. Maybe you feel like God wants you to confess it to a leader or connect group leader that can help you in this journey. Or what do you, while we're repenting and confessing, what then do you need to decide about in faith that God's going to change through? And you know, there's times when God just delivers us from something instantly, and then we have to be careful not to get into a habit of going back there. Or there's times when God doesn't change a thing and we have to then go on a journey with Him. But I want to invite you on the altar tonight as we just worship for like a minute or two. If you want to bring an area to God that you're so angry about, that you want to change and go on a journey with God this week to say, God, what am I so angry about this for? I'm listening. I want to change. So can we all stand to our feet? Do you have the right to be angry? If you're feeling that God's speaking to you right now about some area in your life, I want to invite you to come to the front and just worship with me for the next minute or two as we just continue to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and go on this journey with Him. So right now, if that's you, just come forward. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed. There's a Jonah in all of us. Thank you, worship team.
No one speaks louder than your truth. In Jesus' name there's power. Strongholds will fall at your feet. Fall at your feet. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Speaks louder than your truth. In Jesus' name there's power. Strongholds will fall at your feet. Fall at your feet. No weapon formed against us will prosper. No word speaks louder than your truth. Jesus' name there's power. Strongholds will fall at your feet. Fall at your feet. Where there is darkness, you are the light.
Times where anger has gone the better.
Where there is fear, your perfect love comes alive.
Just in the last couple minutes we have left, I just want to invite you just to bow your head and close your eyes. And I just want to give every person in this place an opportunity to respond to God. If you're feeling a bit dead in your relationship with Him, maybe because, like Jonah, you've run away in a season of your life, or maybe you have never even made a decision to go after God, I want to invite you right now, in a moment's time, to raise your hand if you want me to pray for you. If you're just praying that God's going to come and visit you, give you a word for your life, I'd love to invite you to say a prayer with me that'll just connect you with Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Just like how Jonah was in the belly of the whale and he was resurrected so he could go and preach to the Ninevites, Jesus was crucified. He died. He was in the grave for 3 days, but God resurrected him. And with that resurrection, all our sin and shame was broken. And Jesus said, the only way to the Father is through me. And so if you want to meet Jesus, if you want to pray here tonight that you want to follow after God, whether it's for the first time, second, third, I want to encourage you to raise your hand when I count to three right now. In Jesus' name, be bold and brave. I'm believing that people are coming back to God today. 1, 2, 3. Just raise your hand right now if that's you. I don't want to miss anyone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Who are you speaking to today? Who's out there that's run away from God, but you're hungry to come back? Just another couple of moments. I don't want to miss anyone. I want to make sure that we're all leaving this place, following after God. Amen. Let's quickly pray. I'm just going to hand back over to Andrew in a second. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the way that you've spoken to us, Lord. God, I pray that this message will help other people with the way that it's helped and challenged me. That's what I pray has been imparted tonight, Lord. God, just being open and honest with everyone. Thank you that we get to do this journey together. We get to be disciples of Jesus Christ together. Thank you, Lord, that even though none of us are perfect, Lord, we are found righteous in you. So God, we continue to go into this week, God, knowing that even though we're going to fail, even though we're going to stuff up, we thank you, Lord, that your word will come to us again and again and again. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you have any prayer needs, email prayer@c3monash.org.au or connect with us online.